another footnote to the debate tonight in Cleveland, at the Cleveland Clinic there. Joe Biden and his campaign have rejected the idea of drug tests as suggested by the president before the debate. The president suggesting that Joe Biden has had some sort of an enhancement for his performance in recent debates against Bernie Sanders and elsewhere. He said, how is it so possible that Joe Biden did so poorly, was nearly incoherent in debates early on in this process, and then suddenly was so good with Bernie and has moments of lucidity, while the majority of days he's calling a cap on his campaign? He doesn't even go out. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't do anything. It's all true. And, of course, come Thursday, it's October. What kind of a surprise do we have? People talking about Trump's taxes a bit after a New York Times article that's proven to be based on slim evidence again. One of the topics tonight, though, will be Amy Coney Barrett, the glorious ACB, who's replacing the notorious RGB. But make no mistake, Amy Coney Barrett, who has already been attacked for her faith, and for adopting black children from Haiti and being a working mother. She's been attacked for all of these things by the left. It's repugnant. We'll see how the Democrats conduct themselves. Word is that the hearings will start a week from Monday, October the 12th, I believe. I believe that's a week from Monday. But I want you to hear how some people are weighing in on all of this. Republican senators say they will listen to Amy Coney Barrett. Democrats like Blumenthal and Hirano and Gillibrand say they won't even talk to her, won't even meet with her, have no interest. She's illegitimate. Okay, well, that's one way to look at it. Let's start with bite number three. Bite number three, Senator John Kennedy taking his traditional aim at his colleagues with the customary flair, this time taking aim at Michigan's Debbie Stabenow. She had just spoken to Brit Hume on Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace the day off prepping for the debate. And here's what Senator Kennedy of Louisiana had to say about his colleague from Michigan. It's bite number three. Go.
Senator Stabenow is my colleague, and I consider Debbie a friend, so I say this gently. Sell crazy somewhere else. We're all stocked up here. unless Debbie's clairvoyant, I don't think she knows how the nominee's going to vote or any other member of the United States Supreme Court. But Debbie makes the point, the difference between Democrats and Republicans in terms of the role of the Supreme Court. My Democratic friends think that the Supreme Court ought to be a mini Congress. They're politicians without robes. They don't even need to hear cases. They already know how they're going to vote. And that's part of the problem. That's not how I view the appropriate role of the Supreme Court. And I don't think that's how it operates.
They've got it all figured out. They know how they're going to vote. And they're going to vote no without ever hearing the nominee. I think Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins might at least weigh in and meet with the nominee, either in person or virtually, however that plays out. Former White House counsel Don McGahn, meanwhile, among those shooting down the notion that this is a rushed process to confirm a Supreme Court nominee. In fact, Don McGahn, it's bite number six, Don McGahn, who was a target of investigations, former White House counsel, a guy that insiders said was disgusted by Donald Trump, couldn't work for him, wanted to flee the building and this and that. And even if all that is true, which we have no evidence, but if it is all true, which is possible, it seems even more impressive then that he's coming out in defense of Amy Coney Barrett, the glorious ACB. He's coming out to defend her. Listen to this from Don McGahn, former White House counsel. Bite number six, go.
John Paul Stevens, who's become a hero of the left, went through 16 days start to finish. Senator Day O'Connor went through in 33 days start to finish. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg went through 42 days start to finish. So there is time to do it. It is not outside of the norm.
You don't think it's about the election?
Well, I certainly think that there's an imminent election, and obviously everyone's talking about the election. But I think when the president makes a nomination, he's obligated to do so under the Constitution. This has happened 29 times in our history where there's been election year nomination, and it's happened before. It'll probably happen again.
It's happened before. It will happen again. And don't kid yourself. If roles were reversed, the Democrats would be doing the exact same thing. There's a word for this. Politics. Write that down. Politics. And when the winners of the most recent election have the ability to move the needle because they were elected to do so, guess what they're going to do? They're going to move the needle. And bear in mind, if Democrats had not lost the United States Senate in 2014, Merrick Garland would be on the United States Supreme Court. And if Hillary Clinton had won the election of 2016, as everybody said she would, except for me and a select few of others, if that had happened, right now the Supreme Court would be at a 6-3 liberal tilt, because the Democrats would also be nominating a jurist. They would have replaced Scalia, Kennedy, Ginsburg. They would have done it the exact same way, except that Merrick Garland would have been credited to Barack Obama, and two more would have been credited to Hillary Clinton in her first term. But that didn't happen, did it? And elections have consequences. I know, because Barack Obama told me so, and he was right. Furthermore, Ruth Bader Ginsburg pointed out quite aptly that a president doesn't serve for 3.5 years, but for four years per term. And that means nominating a justice of the Supreme Court, doesn't it? You're in the No Panic Zone, debate night. It's the Steve Gruber Show.